Hello, everybody. My name is Tony Gambone. I am the host of House Talk here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. I'm coming to you live out of Houston, Texas. And, you know, I was waiting for an intro there. I got to make sure to find out why that intro is not on my radio show. Anyway, I apologize because it caught me off guard. And, you know, kind of about what our show is about this week, being caught off guard. We have the opportunity of having a loan officer and a real estate agent. And one of the things that we find in the home industry is a lot of people are caught off guard by one thing or another. So what does that mean? It means that when you hire a realtor, you are leaning on them, dependent on them to walk you through the process. So a lot of times we put our confidence, faith in them because we were referred to them. So we don't ask any questions or we don't know to ask questions. So a couple of things today we're going to find out is what to make sure of when you're hiring a realtor, what to make sure of when you're looking to go to the mortgage company, what it is that you need to be sure of, what kind of questions can you ask the person you're doing business with that will help you stay on the right track so that you don't get lost in the shuffle. So, you know, I'm calling in here on the show every week, and we're live out of Houston, Texas. And back about 7 months ago, we had the storm, Harvey. Worst storm in, I think it said 100 years. We have been working in houses for 7 months, putting houses back together. And we have dealt with situations from the insurance company to not being able to find good help. And that's, of course, a different show altogether, and we will hit those shows, and we will talk to some of the people that we've done work in their homes as well. But what happens when people say, hey, I didn't know I was in a flood zone. Hey, I didn't know I needed flood insurance, okay? Well, when you go to closing, you know, you have all your documents. Hey, I'm going to be the first one to admit, we don't read them. Okay, we don't look in there. We depend on the people to bring us there that are representing us. So a lot of times, I want to know if I hire you as a realtor or you're my loan officer, what questions do I need to make sure that I have answered? What is it that I need to make sure? Is it page 88, 22, or 97? Where do I need to make sure I am being not, you know, being taken advantage of, for better words, lack of better words, but where am I going to make sure that I'm not getting the opportunity to be lost in the shuffle or to be to overlook things? Because let's face it, folks, we live in a very fast-paced society. Everything is technology-driven. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We want to blame everybody. So I'm going to find out today, because, look, it's not the realtor or the broker's responsibility. It's your responsibility to make sure to do your due diligence so that you know the right questions. And that's why we're doing this show, so we can get tips from the experts so that they can help you know what direction to go in, why you're going to go in that direction, and how you can be on the safer side of things. Because let's face it, nothing's a guarantee, right? There's just no way. There's no absolute guarantee of anything. But there is the one thing that you have control of, and that is doing your due diligence. So my first guest today is a young lady out of the Denver area. Her name is Savoy Ragsdale, and she's a mortgage loan broker and an award-winning author. Now, I have a sweet spot for authors, folks. Everybody that listens to my show knows that. I believe that everybody that's listening to the show today should have the opportunity to go out there and tell their story. Now, I know not everybody's going to go write a book, but there isn't anything wrong with journaling or recognizing the blessings you've received along the way to help others share and educate. So I don't want to waste a bunch of time. I want to bring Savoy up on the show. And Savoy, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Tony. Thanks so much for having me.
Am I pronouncing your name right?
You are. Yes, you are.
All right. Very good, because that's one of the things I mess up the most. Anyway, I mentioned that you're calling in from Denver. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Longview, Texas, East Texas.
All right, East Texas. Well, now I live in Houston, and you know there's West Texas, East Texas, then there's Houston, and then there's Dallas, right? And it's really funny to hear the different things that people think about the different parts of this state. But that's probably another three or four shows. What I want to do today is I want to learn a little bit about you, okay? I know I mentioned that you're a mortgage loan officer, a mortgage loan broker. There's a difference there, folks, and an award-winning author. But so I want to find out a couple of things. How did you get started in the mortgage business?
I've been in banking and finance for 20 years, and at that time I was working for U.S. Bank as well as a local builder here in town. And then early 2000 is when I actually had my own mortgage company. And then I went to work for education for a while, and I'm most recently back to mortgages, which is where my love is.
Mm. So in the beginning of the show, I talked about well, for instance, here in Houston, people lived in an area called a flood pool, not a flood zone. Now, call me crazy, but I don't really understand the difference except the spelling. At the end of the day, no one reads through all that paperwork. If it did, it would take another week and a half to go to closing. So what kind of information can people request or educate themselves on that will best help them through the process?
Well,
or is there such a thing?
You know, you can always request additional information. That's the right of the person who's getting whatever they're getting done. And sometimes, ultimately, you just may not know what to ask. And so that's oftentimes what many people do. They go through the motion. They may not know what to ask. But hopefully whomever is working with and for you is already double-checking certain things like, is that home in a flood zone? And if, in fact, the actual title company has documentation of that, and then, therefore, that would mean that particular loan would require flood insurance. And so all of those things go hand-in-hand with making certain that that information is addressed. But you know what? When a person's not ever purchased a home before, they may not know to ask that. There's so many things that you wouldn't know what to ask. And so you really are relying on whomever you've hired to help you with that process, be it the mortgage person or even the realtor.
So at the end of the day, I always say it's up to the individual to educate themselves. And in today's world, it just seems impossible not to learn something, whether it's true or false, because we have Google or the internet or, you know, a phone or a laptop or a tablet. So there's so many ways to develop questions so that when you do hire people, it will be easier. But of course, then there's the other side of the coin. We live in an environment that's kind of, I don't know, phone driven. I guess that's a polite way of saying they're lazy. But everything is right there for them on their phone. And if it's not on their phone, they just don't go any further. So my question to you, Savoy, is when someone comes to you and they're interested in getting a mortgage, what are some of the questions that you would ask them right off the get-go? Some of the things they would have to know right away.
Well, some of the things I would want to know is, one, do they have an idea of how much per month they would like their payment to be? What are they currently paying in their rent? Have they been on time with their rent? I would want to know things like, do you happen to know your credit score by chance? You're not required to know it, but do you know it? Because that can kind of help me at least preliminarily give them an idea of how things look. Is that noise coming from my side? I'm sorry.
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's not me. And so that type of information is what I would be asking of them, kind of wanting to find out ultimately what their goal is, how much they'd like to spend, what might they have in savings? Might they be one of those persons who might be in need of some of the down payment assistance programs that are out there? Those are the type of questions that I'm asking at the very beginning to see. And that helps us to be able to kind of narrow down what is anticipated on on just from those answers, depending on if their answers are close to what they know it to be, can give them kind of an idea of how things might look for them before we move forward with an application. Of course, we also want to make certain that, about their job status. How long have they been on a job? Do they have breaks in job? History, things of that sort are information that we want to know as well.
So you qualify them for two reasons. One, to see if they're a fit. So two, you're not wasting their time or yours. So that's the first step. They have to be qualified. But I spoke to a lender a couple of days ago at a networking meeting, and she was excited that she got to work with someone because they went on, I think it's Rocket Loans or something, you know, that you find on the internet, and there's a lot of hidden costs because those people have to do a ton of marketing. So dealing with the local people in your area is probably the best bet. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with you. Dealing with your local person is usually going to definitely be your best bet, for sure. And with when dealing with a broker versus a bank, we're able to shop things for you to with the goal of affordability or the goal of the better cost for our particular client. So that's another piece that we bring to the table, a little bit different than, let's say, a bank. With a broker, we're able to shop quite a few different investors to see what might be the best route, what's the better rate, which title company might have the better package that's not as expensive as another to still achieve the exact same goal. So that's what that broker brings to the table, is the expertise of being able to check quite a few different places to see what's best for the client.
Now, do you agree that a client should also verify or qualify the broker? So, for instance, maybe I meet you and our personalities don't go together too well. That would be a sign to me to say, well, you know, maybe this isn't the right spot. Or if it doesn't go together right, get to know more about who you are and what it is you do, how long you've been doing it, why you do it, so that they could have a better feeling about who you are, because they're putting their trust in you to take care of something that's going to be maybe a retirement at the end of their work life, you know, purchasing that home or purchasing many homes.
I absolutely agree. I believe that there should be a fit with the client and the lender for sure, just like it should be a good fit for the client and the realtor. And as you mentioned, sometimes it might be personality that makes the fit or maybe not the fit, or just how they explain information, and maybe they don't explain it sufficient enough for a person. So there definitely does have to be a fit for sure. And ultimately, that it may sound cliche, but most of us are usually looking to work with someone that we decide that we know, like, and trust. Even if we've just met them, we can usually know within the first so many minutes of whether or not this might be a person that you would feel comfortable working with.
Well, and, I know that you're a speaker.
To your question, I'm sorry. You also, may I add one more thing? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, I apologize.
That person can definitely pull up a lender as well as a realtor on their state websites to learn more about any information regarding them. It's usually listed there because we're licensed. So, yes, they can do their due diligence in that manner as well. Absolutely.
So you mentioned know, like, and trust, and I learned from a coach a while back, and I speak about it a lot, is know, like, and trust, then there's connection, right? So someone referred you to someone and they come to you, they have to know you. They know, like, and trust you because they were referred to you, but if there's no connection there, it's just three great words. You know, so it's got to be.
I agree with that.
I think people have to do it. Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned that you're a speaker, and I mentioned that you're a award-winning author, and I have a soft spot for authors because I think it's just awesome when people will put down on paper what's going on, and you know, I like to find out how they got started. So one of the questions I have for you is, What made you stop? And there's a book, Rear View Reflections. And what made you decide to write a book?
Well, Tony, I actually am a journaler. I heard you speaking about journaling earlier today. And in journaling, I found myself kind of writing in similar, it's called prose because it doesn't rhyme, but in poetry format, just some certain little blurbs about my life. And I did that in my journaling time. And over time, some loved ones read it and thought that I should publish it. And I thought, okay, if you think I should, I will. And that's kind of where this all got started for me. Now, I wrote my book in 2011, but I didn't publish it until 2017. And unfortunately, that was literally due to fear. And we know that fear is nothing but contaminated faith. So I finally turned the corner once, unfortunately, I lost my mom is what made me turn the corner. You know, I was grieving with my loss of my mom. And finally, I say in honor of her, let's just go ahead and complete this. So I do. And she had actually edited the book about 6 months prior to her passing. And so that's where I completed what I started with Rear View Reflections and decided to no longer live in that fear stage regarding writing. I felt that God gave me a gift back in my early 20s, quite honestly, and I even incorporated a business back then with the goal of it being for me writing. And then I did, I pretty much pushed it under a rug as much as I could. You get started living, and then I just start pushing my dreams and aspirations under the rug. I call it quicksand, especially when fear and all that's combined with it as well, and procrastination. So that's kind of what I did back then. And so I'm now living, I feel, more authentically with what gifts I believe I've been given by God, and writing is one of them. And so that's where Rear View Reflections comes from.
I love that. I think that once I've done a couple compilation books and I've, as a compiler, and I got people just to write their chapter, you know, maybe 6-page chapter of, you know, graduated high school, got married, did this, did that, and just the last 10 years of their lives, you know, just give me some bullet points. And they've all found that when you write that out like that, they see how blessed they really are, for number one. And it inspires them to move forward even more, because when people read the little insert, the one chapter, they want the rest of the story. So that being said, your book, when you took your journal, and I love the Rear View Reflections, and the fact that it's in honor of your mother, because, well, that's just an unexplainable glory that only you will know, and unless others do the same. So she's with you every step of the way, so to speak. What was the thing in that Rear View Reflections that stood out the most to other people?
What say that one more time, Tony. What stood out the most regarding Rear View Reflections?
Yes. What did people come to you? They said you need to publish it, okay? But why? What was the thing that stood out the most in that book that made people, you know, tell you that?
Well, my mom actually said, you know, sweetie, you have a gift. You literally are a writer. And I don't believe she just said it because she was my mom. She also was an English teacher, but she also doesn't tell you something she really didn't believe. So that's kind of what she said. Others have said that it just really resonates with them. They feel like they're having a conversation with me when they're reading it. They see themselves. One review said, I laughed, I cried. I had every emotion in reading through it. It's as though Savoy went in my head and pulled out my thoughts. So those are the type of reviews that I've had or received. And nice to even say, I'm pleased to say I'm 5 out of 5 stars on Amazon. So quite a few people are giving some good love toward Rear View Reflections, and it's quite an honor.
It's hard to explain what it feels like when people come up to you and tell you that they laughed, they cried, and smiled after reading your book. It's just That's why I think that everybody should do that, because on that one day where life's not going the way you planned, those types of things help you pick yourself up out of the quicksand and get back on the road again. Now, you have another book coming out, and it's called, I'm trying to bring my page back up here, but this other book coming out is Absolute Best, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life. Now,
yes.
I've heard of other books similar to those titles, okay? And everybody's trying to tell us to change our mindset. Now, I'm setting you up for these answers, Savoy, okay? I have to read the other side, right? But change your mindset. How do you do that? I mean, people try to do it all the time, and they just can't do it. What's the trick?
Well, I first believe that you have to believe that you're a little bit more than just the earth suit that you're looking at here. I believe you have to know or get to a point where you understand you're multidimensional, that, you know what, your mind will take off and run if you don't give it any guidance. If you don't feed it the right stuff, it's going to lead you some other directions. And so one of the things that brought me to that was one time, have you ever heard of the writer Earl Nightingale?
No, yes.
Okay. Earl Nightingale has something out called The Strangest Secret. He wrote it back in, I think, 40s or 50s. And one of the things I loved about listening to that was the practical application of mining your mind. That's how I'll say it. You know, of learning how to make certain that you're either thinking the thoughts that you choose to think instead of letting your mind go whatever direction. And he has a 30-day challenge in there. And I actually have done that challenge so many times and failed. And the challenge is for 30 days, write down whatever your goal is and look at that morning, noon, and night, and pull it out also if your thoughts start going negative toward that goal. Well, I found myself at some point, he said, but if you happen to go down this negative path and you find yourself staying there, you need to start all over on the 30 days. Well, finally, one month, I actually stayed on target for that 30-day time. But you know what it showed me? It showed me how often my mind veers to the left, which I'm going to call left negative. And I was like, wow, I thought I was one of the more positive persons in the world. And surely enough, I was observing how often my brain, my mind just takes left. And I realized, you know what, there is something to this thing of actually doing a better job of making certain you do better with that. And then As a Man Thinketh by James Allen, which, of course, As a Man Thinketh is actually scripture, but he actually broke it down in the book. And what I love about books like this is they give you practical application. And he just talked about, you know what, your mind is like a garden. He says, so let's talk about it. If you don't tend to the garden, you will have weeds. He says, but you know what, if you choose to plant certain seeds in there, the seeds of what you'd like to have manifest, then your garden will be the garden that you desire. So both of those books together helped me with the practical application of working on where am I literally, mentally, where am I? And understanding that I feel that I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a physical body, that's that multidimensional part that I mentioned, and that, you know what, I do have to actually mind my mind. Because it will go whatever direction it'll go, regardless. And with that example of that 30-day challenge, and for it to truly show me how much I went left, that was scary. For someone who mainly usually has affirmative things to say about myself and other people, I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So that's where I realized, you know, that computer saying, garbage in, garbage out, that's another example of reminding us that you got to put good in if you're wanting good out. And so that's kind of where that all has come forth for me foundationally.
Yes. So I find that a lot of people are self-sabotagers. They don't want to be successful because they fear they will have to step up above the crowd they're hanging with. So I used to tell my children when they were in school a long time ago, if you hang around with 9 crackheads, you'll probably end up being number 10. You've got to hang around with people that you want to be like, not people that, you know, will drag you down, but people that will lift you up. Well, in school, that's hard, right? But in the world, it's even harder because we get trapped in what we think is right. So the 30-day challenge to me shows that you have the ability to make the choices that you want to make as long as you're willing to stay focused on the target, right? You can't hit something you can't see. But I've had the 3x5 cards in the visor, so when I was at a stop sign, I could put it down and tell myself, read it over and over and over. So, you know, I tried all that stuff. But I also found that I went towards the negative or the left side, as you put it, more times than not. And you know, when I started reading the Bible, I found out that we were born broken and that Satan does dance in our joy. And so it's not an easy mission, by no means, to stay on the right path, but it is an opportunity to come in and try that for yourself. All you have to do is try it. And the hard part is trying it.
Yeah, you know, life is truly about choices, and, you know, to not choose is also a choice, and so I think it gets to a point where a person has to just say, you know what, I will try it. And when I tell you an example of my 30-day challenge, I probably tried that 30-day challenge maybe 10 to 12 times before I really completed a full 30 days, and it was in that completion of the full 30 days that I observed how often I went left. But what was neat was this time, instead of staying left, I always veered back right. That was what made that still a good month for a full 30 days, because I would pull out that card and remind myself, and I go, okay, I'm back on target. But it was just amazing how often I'd have to do that. So, yeah, we are living in a world that's it can be very negative also, and so we can get caught up into that energy as well. I'm a strong believer we are energy beings, and so it's really about doing your best to be on the highest frequency you possibly can. That's what absolute best is talking about, doing your best to just soar as high as you possibly can. I call it flying high instead of laying low, and but it's a choice. And it's a choice of deciding, you know what, I'm going to kill mediocrity in my life, and I'm going ahead and replace it with excellence. And excellence doesn't mean I'm perfect. Excellence means I'm continually striving with whatever that goal and aspiration is.
I love the concept of what you're putting out there. And for me, the question I have is, so do you speak, so you're a loan, a mortgage broker. So you have loan officers that work for you. Do you have a weekly, monthly type of meeting, or, you know, where you get that information into their head? Because doing what you do for a living is not an easy way to stay on the positive, because, well, to put it easily, we meet the kind of people that could drive us crazy during the day. And then there's the phone calls. Is it ready? What's taking so long? This and that. And then you never told me that. So do you pump that into your officers on a daily basis to keep them on the right side of the coin?
Well, you know what? To be perfectly clear and honest with you, I am a broker, but I'm not the one in charge of the office. However, I have been in management positions where that is the type of information I pumped into anyone I was managing. That, as a matter of fact, more of them would say they enjoyed working with me, because there was always some kind of nugget going in the right direction of how we should be starting our day or what have you. And reminding people that in the midst of the day, surely enough, things come up that will stress us out. But if we've kind of started out on a good path of maybe something I've either sent over video-wise, motivational, maybe it's it could even be scripture. My favorite is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My goodness, I chewed on that one forever. And you know what? It never grows old. So that kind of information is what I would always make certain that I laid it foundationally with anyone that I was managing. But no, I'm not the person in charge where I am. I actually have a manager where I work, but I am a broker because I'm able to actually go and shop those loans for people to determine exactly what's the best for them. Did
I
lose you?
I know. Oh no, ma'am, I'm here. I'm taking notes. I'm very impressed with your mindset. Okay, I like the fact that one of the reasons I do this radio show is because I get to meet people of all different types of backgrounds that do all different things. They all have a different title, making a living in a certain way. But it's incredible how the successful people have a certain way of thinking, and you can tell they're successful when they admit that they can't always stay on course, but they're always trying to stay on course. So I'm always impressed with that, so I always take a lot of notes. Because there are things that I'm going to be having you back on the show when this book comes back out again, the second
book.
Oh,
thank you.
And I want to have you back again because time goes so quickly that we never seem to have enough time on a show to learn all the different things. I know that you're a speaker and that you travel and speak as long as they're going to buy your airplane ticket. And what is it that you, what type of venues are you looking to speak to, and how can they contact you to speak?
Okay, thank you for that. I'm looking at any type of venues where they are looking for empowerment speeches, things to empower the group of people. It can be employers, it could be organizations, that type of thing, to actually hopefully inspire, instruct and inspire them. That's ultimately what the type of speaking that I do. I'm rather passionate, and I can sometimes make it work for fun exercise, but that's definitely what I love doing. And you know, I'm the shy little girl who my mom put me in 4-H and taught me how to do public speaking, and I would cry every time she'd make me change my inflection. But I kid you not, she was preparing me for where I am in my life right now. And so I would love the opportunity. The way people can get in touch with me, my email is Author Savoy, AUTHOR, SAV as in Victor, OI, @ Yahoo.com. And then my telephone number is 720-278-6232.
And so
now
so
I would love to also I wanted to offer any of your listeners who emailed me a free downloadable copy of my upcoming book when it does come out at the end of 2018. They will need to email me and say they heard us chatting on your station, and then I can make certain that I get their information to get them a free downloadable copy of Absolute Best, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life.
Okay, and I want you to send me an email of that so that later on when the show is posted up on the social media pages that we can put that in the comments, okay, so
okay,
that people
that
can
like
have that opportunity all the way up to the time of the book coming out. Also,
okay.
I would love for you to make sure 30 days ahead of time, 60 days ahead of time, that you contact me personally, okay, remind me so that I can push it out to my list of people. I always, you know, we've had people help us promote a book to get it to number one on Amazon. It takes more than just one person, and I would love to be a part of
Absolutely.
Helping you do that.
Oh, thank you so much.
One piece of advice.
Most definitely.
It's my pleasure. Now, Savoy, one piece of advice that you could leave our listeners with about, I'm going to two-part it, okay? One about mindset and one about mortgages.
Okay. Regarding mindset, it's one day at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time. Give yourself grace if you notice you're going in the opposite direction. But just swerve your car back over to the right side and do your best with staying there as much as you can throughout the day. It does take practice. For me, everything from prayer to meditation to journaling helped me get grounded to be on the frequency that I desire to fly on. And so it does take practice, but give yourself a little grace on that. But the key thing is being aware. The key thing is being aware. Regarding mortgages, there are a few things I want to kind of leave you with. There are a few different loans out there that brokers, some can bring to the table for a client. One in particular is like a renovation loan. Possibly a person locates a home. It needs a little bit of renovation. that allows them to go in and buy it a little lower than what it would come in if it didn't need the renovating, and thereby sometime having making it be the perfect home for them. There are all types of programs out there depending on a person's income and things of that sort. But if you're a person interested in purchasing and you may not feel you have enough money to put down, there are some different programs available. Your broker should be able to help you with that. There's something called Home Ready and Home Possible. Those also are assistant type programs that are assisting people with that home ownership goal. Home ownership definitely is the American dream, and even though rates are going up just a little bit, they still are decent rates. And so now is definitely the time. If you thought about being a homeowner, I highly recommend that you become one.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. And I do apologize because we run out of time quickly here. So much to have you back on the show to talk about. I look forward to it. And I just hope you have a blessed week.
You as well, Tony. Thank you so much. Be blessed. And everyone listening, you as well. And thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Folks, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back with my second guest. So don't go nowhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Okay, it seems as though the internet is winning today, but I'm not giving up that quickly. Great guest, Savoy Rex. It was an awesome guest. I hope that everyone will check it out. Make sure to go and look her up. Great information about mortgages. My second guest is Kathy Fetke. I hope I'm saying that right. We're going to bring her up here on the air. And she is the co-founder of Real Wealth Network. And she is a, well, former mortgage broker, but she's a licensed realtor. And I told you today, before our first guest came on the air, that we were going to talk about real estate, and we were going to talk about mortgages, and then we were going to talk about the things that are going on in everyone's life as a guest on our show today. So without wasting any time, I want to bring Kathy up on the show, learn a little bit about her, talk a little bit about real estate, and then also find out more about her book. Okay, so Kathy, welcome to the show. Let's see. Kathy, are you there? Can you hear me? All right, let's try that again.
Can you hear me now?
All right. Now I can hear you. How are you?
Awesome. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. The internet is trying to defeat me today, and I will refuse to let it. So I'm pushing buttons very quickly and going back and forth and doing all kinds of crazy things, but I am excited that you have joined us on the show here today.
I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so tell me, pronounce your last name for me. Did I get it right?
Fetke, yes. It means little fatty in Fetke. German.
Well, I'm sorry to say, somebody got it wrong. I'm looking at your picture, and no, doesn't, no, sorry. So let me ask you, are you married?
I am.
Okay, so we'll blame it on your husband's side of the family.
It's
there you go. So,
definitely.
Yeah, I'm a husband a long time, and I know that one of the descriptions is fault in there. That's me. So, okay, I want to talk about, we spoke with a mortgage broker in the first half of the show, and I know that you are in the mortgage industry as well, and you're a licensed realtor. And you do a lot of things with real estate, but I want to talk about a little bit about the real estate. What we talked about in the beginning of the show was, you know, I'm here in Houston, Texas, and we had the Harvey storm go through, and a lot of people have been complaining. We have a remodeling business ourselves here, and we've been working in houses for 7 months, and you've heard horror stories, crazy stories, and then the self-pity stories. So what I want to know is, as you're looking to hire a realtor, okay, what are some of the things as a new home buyer or someone that's looking to purchase a home, what are some of the things that they should make sure that they do to do their due diligence?
Sure. Well, most people don't know, you know, aren't contractors and don't know the quality of the, you know, the condition of the house. So the first thing you certainly want to do is, you know, get your inspections, get third-party inspectors to come and make sure that the house is in the condition that you expected in, because if it's not, you could find yourself with a lot of bills that you weren't expecting, and that hurts.
Third-party inspector. So let's see if I get this right. When someone's looking to purchase a house, they get a home inspection. And does the buyer or the seller get the home inspection?
The buyer pays for it. It's between $300 and $400 typically. And that home inspector will tell you if there's something you need to look in a little further. If they see that there's problems with the roof, or there might be mold, or there might be foundation issues, then you can hire another specialist, a specialist inspector, to tell you how much it's going to cost to fix it so that there aren't any surprises.
Right.
And one of the nice things about getting as many inspections as you can possibly get is that then you can use those numbers to hopefully discount the cost of the house. Because once you've done those inspections, now that information is out in the world, and the seller is required to show that those reports to any future buyers. So you have negotiating power there to bring the price down to help cover the cost.
That's a good point. And a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not spending all that money for home inspectors. And what I find, I get a lot of calls. I deal with a lot of realtors and a lot of people. We've been in this area 20 years. People are looking to buy a house, and they'll get a home inspection, and they'll ask me to come and give them a price on the list, what it would cost to fix it, so they have bargaining power as well. And someone once said to me, well, one of my sons who's in the business, he says, we're not getting most of those jobs. Why are you doing the estimates? Well, one is because it gets us in front of the people that are looking for work. We never know what that's going to turn out to be, and eventually they would have to fix it. But more importantly, you have to be out there creating opportunities for people. So we do free estimates. So when people say, well, that's a lot of money, that's not necessarily true. You can get your inspection list priced out by a contractor that offers free estimates. So there's a lot of good ways around that. And a lot of times I think that they should quiz the contractor on different things. So, for instance, I've seen home inspectors say that the soil or the grass, when cutting the grass without a bag on it, that it grows up so high it covers the weep holes on your brick. And that's an issue. And a lot of people don't think that's an issue. So if you don't know that, you should either, one, quiz your inspector, or two, quiz the expert in your area that you do trust, because those types of things could come back later and bother you. So it says here, I'm going to read a little bit about what I have on you. It says that you are the co-CEO and co-founder of Real Wealth Network, based in Walnut Creek, California, an organization dedicated to helping members get the most current and cutting-edge education and information they need to succeed as real estate investors. Now, Kathy, I got to tell you, this is one of the things that I try to pay a lot of attention to, because at the age of 62, going through some health issues, using up all my money to get healthy again, now what's the future bring for me? So one of the things I'm teaching my adult children is property is king. real estate is king. If you have that, no one can take it away from you. The price might go up and go down, but it's yours to sell always. So is this what I'm reading telling me that you are someone who teaches people how to invest in real estate? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they probably can do it. It sounds like something you can only do if you're already wealthy. That's what we thought when we first started is, oh gosh, we don't have enough money to do this. But when you start to learn the many ways that people have been able to get in the game, it's really anyone can do it. You can start as a wholesaler. You can start as a flipper. You can borrow private money from people who maybe have IRAs in the stock market and would rather it be in property. Or you can get an FHA loan and only put 3.5% down and buy a fourplex if you live in the union. So, yeah, we work with all kinds of people to show them, give them the information they need to make those first steps and really understand that anyone can do it and build wealth and passive income streams through real estate.
Now, a lot of people that I meet, okay, I always ask them, you know, why not have a rental property? They say, well, it's too much headaches. And I say to them, well, what are you doing with the money that you have, you know, in your 401? And, you know, how's the stock market going to help you? And what about taxes and all these different things? And, you know, it's really funny. Everybody has an answer already set in their mind, okay? And I think I know a little better than the answers they're giving me. And it's just excuses. People don't think that it's that easy. I mean, I know that I've been to some classes. I know that we flipped some houses and, you know, we have some rental properties, and I think wholesaling is where it's at because you just in and out quickly. But what about when people say, I'm not paying all those people all that money for hard money lenders or stuff like that? Do you recommend doing that if it's a 90-day flip? Is it worth doing something like that with the hard money?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's so many people who would rather have their money tied to an asset rather than the stock market where your money can disappear overnight. So, you know, you can borrow money from somebody who self-directs their IRA, and you can give them, it doesn't have to be hard money. It can be even 6 or 7 or 8%, because it's maybe better than what they're getting in the stock market and offers more security. So yeah, there's all kinds of ways to get access to money. If you can improve your credit, that is one of the greatest assets you can have, because then you can qualify for bank money, which is the cheapest.
Right, right. And if you do a few deals and you build a little bit of money in the bank, would that also help you with the bank loan?
Yeah, you need to have some savings in there. You need to have at least 6 months reserves of the mortgage payment. You need to have low debt to income ratios to get, you know, to get bank money, and a 2-year job history and pretty good credit. Mm-hmm. If you have that, then certainly, I mean, even with FHA loans, you don't even have to have that good of credit, and you don't need a very big down payment. You just need low debt and a 2-year job history.
Okay, so I have been waiting for this part of the show because I wanted to make sure to talk about real estate and all that. I'm a big fan of the, you know, house flipping. Okay, my wife likes it because she gets to watch it on HGTV. I like it is because that's what I do. I'm good at it and I can make money at it. So one of the things I tell people here, other contractors in the Houston area, Harvey just gave everybody the crash course on how to flip a house, because most people's first floor had to be ripped out 5 feet up off the floor and put back together again. So to me, I've been practicing with the crews now for 7 months to do this. Okay. And so when you go out and you look at houses to do this type of work, or when you're teaching this, am I correct in assuming that you teach this, correct?
Well, mostly we help people buy rental properties that they hold for cash flow.
Okay.
But sure, I can talk about flipping. Yeah.
Well, no, I want to talk. So some of the discussion questions I received were rents are rising at the fastest pace in almost 2 years. Okay. Now, I moved to Houston, Texas 20 years ago from Las Vegas, and it was cheaper to rent a house than it was an apartment. I've lived all across the country. Never have I seen it like that. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And Houston, Texas has the cheapest real estate. That's right. I said it out loud on the internet. The cheapest real estate market that I've ever seen either. So when you say rents are rising faster than ever, what's causing that?
Well, it's a lack of inventory overall across the country. When we had a massive housing crash, builders went down with it, and many of them lost everything. And so for builders to get up and running again, it's taken a whole decade. But during that decade, the population grew and households have formed, and there's tremendous demand for housing. But now we need, now we need property, and it's not there. So you have public demand, not enough supply, and that's driving prices up and rents up.
Mm. So you wrote a book called Retire Rich in Rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a how-to book or a success book, or what am I going to learn from that book?
Just the basic things you need to know when investing in property. A lot of people try to take shortcuts or just don't understand what they're doing, or they buy a property because it looks nice, but they don't understand it might not cash flow. So there's, you don't want to buy in a flood zone, right? So there's just a lot. I have steps you need to take, the checklist you need to check off to make sure that you're protecting yourself. Because in real estate, you can get asset protection. You get tax benefits that are unbelievable. And there's so many benefits if you know what you're doing and you do it right. So I wrote the book to help people.
So the key is do your homework. And like being successful. Yeah. Being successful in business doesn't mean that you have the best product in the world. It's just you had the best mentor or teacher in the world that helped you get to from point A to point B. And it might take 6 different people to get through that journey. But as long as you keep getting educated, you have possibilities of being successful. I don't think that you can steer the boat all by yourself. I just believe that the more help, the better it is. What made you decide to go and write the book?
We have a network called Real Wealth Network with 36,000 members, and most of them are new to real estate. They've had their money in the stock market, or they just couldn't buy a property in California because it's too expensive. So they would come to us and have a million questions, and oftentimes wouldn't even ask questions. They would just go buy property because I would get them educated and excited about it, but they were just educated enough to be dangerous. And I started to see some people making poor decisions. So I wrote the book to help people make the right decisions, buy the right properties at the right time in the right market for the right price, so that you can rent it out, have all that rent, cover the cost of your mortgage, have your tenant pay down your loan for you so that you end up with a house free and clear that you only had to put a small down payment on.
Mm. So brings me to a personal question for me. Okay, I'm 62 years old, and I'm a boomer, and a lot of the boomers nowadays are getting asked to leave their job at the age of 55. They're kind of getting squeezed out, or they found out that their 401 isn't what it used to be. And is it smart for them at that age, because it seems as though we're living longer now and retirement is paying out less, is it smart for the boomer community to start thinking about real estate investing like this?
Absolutely. I mean, let's say you're in your a 50s boomer, in your 50s, you might live another 30 years. So, that's if you buy several houses, you could take all the rent from those houses and pay off one of your notes. you know, so it depends on the person you're talking about. If a property is highly leveraged, you're not going to get enough, a lot of cash flow. And so maybe for some people in their 50s and 60s, they don't have 30 years to wait. So we put them on a plan to accelerate the payoff of that property so they can own it free and clear. But one thing I do highly recommend for baby boomers is to get their money out of the stock market, because the last thing you want when you're in your retirement is to lose it. And we know that the stock market is volatile. And, you know, people are putting their blind faith in it, but there's nothing to back it up, nothing to say, you know, next week it could all be gone. So I wouldn't trust it. I would diversify and make sure that most of my money is in extremely secure investments. And that could be in property that you either bought for a good price, that cash flows, or as a private lender at a very low LTV.
And so I think, you know, there's big talk about cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, the different things out there. And, you know, fast money usually can grow real fast and you can lose real fast. But I'm really convinced that real estate, it might turn the corner every 10 years and come back around. But if you got a 30-year mortgage, and you're in your 50s or 60s, it might not seem right? But if you had a 30-year mortgage, isn't there programs that you could pay it off in 15 years?
Right. You could get a 15-year note, or you could get a 30-year note and just make an extra payment every year, and that will dramatically reduce the time that you pay off that loan. Or, you know, if you have, this is for people with a little bit of higher net worth, but if you have a $250,000 to invest, you could buy around 10 homes. And if you took all, you know, if they're like $100,000 homes, and if you took all the rent from all 10 homes to pay off one of those houses, you would have that house paid off in about 2.5 years. So there's lots of ways to accelerate the process.
Now, is this kind of information in your book?
It sure is.
Uh-huh. So it's important that they buy the book, Retire Rich in Rentals. Where can they find the book?
You can get it on Amazon. It's easy to find there. It was a bestseller for a long time.
Okay. And so do you buy any real estate in Houston, Texas?
Yeah, we help a lot of investors buy there because we think that's a very strong market.
Yeah. Do you go out and do seminars and stuff like that in your area or other parts of the country?
We do. We have monthly seminars that we do. We have a seminar coming up in May in Detroit to show some properties there, and it's an emerging market, and there's properties in good neighborhoods for $70,000, all renovated. That's just a $14,000 down payment if you're looking for an investment property. So, yeah, we have an event and a tour there on May 18th. So, yeah, you can go to realwealthnetwork.com to find all the upcoming events.
Well, anyone out there that's having trouble finding it, please email me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I will personally do an introduction to you to Kathy. Kathy, I'm out of time, and I know that we might not be heard on the air, but this will be heard in the recording as well. What's your tip of the year for people out there looking to invest in real estate, other than the fact that they need to contact Real Wealth Network right away? What is your tip?
Sure. You know, get educated before you jump into anything. If you're going to try to flip a property or wholesale, get someone who's done it many times before successfully to help you. Don't get your advice from a real estate agent who is just looking for a good commission. No offense to real estate agents, but they're not the people to get your wealth advice from. They can help you find property, but not give you advice on it. So, yeah, get educated.
Yeah, Great advice. Kathy, thank you so much. I'm going to have you back on the show. Please let me know when you're coming through Houston. I want to help support what you're doing. I love what you're teaching. I'm going to get your book. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon. Folks, I apologize, but we're out of time. I just want to say thank you to my guest, Kathy Fetke, and Savoy Ray, and make sure to check out their book. Look at Tough Talk Radio Network Facebook page. All the stuff will be posted up there later today. I'm excited and thankful for my guest today. I wish everyone a great week. Thank you, and tune in next week, same time, same station, House Talk on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Thank you.